hear today's gospel, after you heard last week's gospel, you might really want to say, poor Peter. Hey, you know, I'm going to build my church on your faith, in which you showed such great faith, calling me the Messiah, the Son of God. Then, you're a stumbling block. Get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine how he felt? It was like a real reversible, relational fortune that was very painful. And sometimes we can kind of identify with that. But Peter was responding to Jesus telling his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and be killed and suffer death and then be raised from the dead. And Peter says, God, forbid it, Lord, don't let this happen. And he had a real good reason for saying this, because he was a Jew and he expected that what Isaiah had said ever since the exile, the Jews had been wanting to have this Messiah come and rescue Israel from all the people that were picking on them and dominating. And Isaiah promised in his prophecy a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace, whose authority shall grow continually and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. And justice will be established and upheld with righteousness from that time forward. Peter wanted Jesus to be the fulfillment of that promise, of Isaiah's prophecy. Yet they were being dominated by the Romans. And you know, those Romans weren't very nice people. They had this idea of peace called Pax Romana, which really meant peace and justice through war and domination. They ruled by instilling fear in the people that they oppressed and dominated. The people living in first century Palestine really needed rescuing. But Jesus did not come to instigate violence. Jesus had a different idea about what a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace would be. Jesus came to bring about the kingdom of God on earth. And that kingdom of God is not ruled by violence and oppression. Jesus uses a different logic, one that runs by forgiveness, mercy, and love, rather than retribution, violence, and hate. Jesus is challenging the powers that be. From his birth, Jesus is standing in the way of the empire and challenging it. After the wise men told Herod that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, and they didn't come back and tell him what he had found, Herod sent his goons out to kill all the children, male children under the age of 2, in and around Bethlehem. So just to be called a king, just to be pinned as the Messiah, was a threat to the kingdom, the empire, the Roman Empire. Now, you might think, well, why? Because the emperor was known, the emperor had many titles. Among them were divine, Son of God, God from God, Lord, Liberator, Redeemer, Savior of the world. Any of these titles sound familiar to you? you read them in the gospel and the prayers, and you read them in St. Paul's writings, St. Paul used these titles to emphasize Jesus' different logic for peace and freedom above and beyond and over and against Pax Romana. Jesus bore all these titles to bring about the kingdom of God in different logic. The whole story of Jesus' life has to be taken in context of this massive Roman Empire. To remove that from this context is like taking the struggles of Mahatma Gandhi out of the context of the struggles with the British Empire, or taking Martin Luther King's struggles for racial equality out of the racism of the United States at that time. In all these people, Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King and Jesus had to die to bring about these changes. And so, in this case, real change came with death. In our context today, change most often comes with some kind of death. Old ways need to die for the new ways to take hold and to live and to flourish. So Jesus was offering a different logic for looking at the world and how a kingdom should be structured. And this kingdom is the kingdom of God. So here at St. Luke's, you've experienced two deaths in the form of change over the past couple of years. Father Brewer left at the end of 2015 after 21 years. And Mother Duckworth left this week after 18 months. Both were beloved of this congregation. Their leaving, however, opened the door to St. Luke's to write a new chapter in your congregational life. On September 15th, you will welcome Father Avila to St. Luke's. And this event will signify the new beginning for you. After death, there is a resurrection. And resurrection changes everything. If Jesus had just died, he would have just been another victim of the oppressive Roman Empire. But God raised Jesus from the dead, and that changed the world. You don't even have to believe in bodily resurrection to see how the world was changed by those people that believed in Jesus' resurrection. And maybe the coming of Father Ricardo won't change the world, but it will change St. Luke's. And I'm sure for the better, because your search committee and the vestry did an incredible job of discerning who to call. And Mother Penelope did an awesome job in pastoral leadership over the past 18 months. So these things will all be guaranteed change for the better. So death, change, and resurrection, however, do not always result in a positive outcome. Now, last week we saw the result of Hurricane Harvey, the devastation that it had on Southeast Texas. Everyone agrees that this was a disaster of catastrophic proportions, involving or causing sudden great damage or suffering. All one has to do is to watch the evening news to see how the citizens of Southeast Texas are affected by this disaster. The question is, what can we do for these people? Many of them have lost everything. And you might say, well, didn't they have insurance? Well, normal insurance doesn't cover flood damage. And 85% of the people in Harris County didn't have flood insurance, because only those people that live in the 100-year floodplain are required to have it. And those definitions of the 100-year floodplain are decades out of definition. And anyway, the flood was outside the 500-year floodplain. So, and insurance companies are estimated to pay about $10 to $12 billion in damages out of what is estimated now to be about $300 billion in damage. So there's a big gap. There's a big gap. And those, it also, we have to look at those who lived in apartments, renters. So even if their homeowners insurance did have flood, these people have lost everything, and they're the poorest of the poor. We've seen them on TV. So, to say the least, the need is great. As Christians, we're called to help those in need. And Jesus told his disciples when they asked him, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty and gave you water or food to drink and eat? And Jesus says, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, you who are members of my family, you did it to me. In your bulletins, you'll find a flyer from Episcopal Relief and Development, the Episcopal Church's disaster relief arm. They are an excellent way to help those in need in Southeast Texas. They're rated by the Better Business Bureau as an accredited charity. According to the report, 84% of their donations received go to programs, 5% to administration, and 11% to fundraising. So I urge you to take out those flyers and give a generous donation to Episcopal Relief and Development. But however, you might say, well, I don't like ERD. So if you go to give.org, you can look up on the Better Business Bureau site and see some of the other charities you might want to give to. And you can see their reports and what the Better Business Bureau says about them. So with all this bad news in Texas, we've got to have some good news. And the reading from Exodus, God tells Moses not to worry. He's going, when you go before the Pharaoh, the mighty Pharaoh, when you say, let my people go. You know why? Because God is going to be with him. God promises to be with Moses when he speaks truth to power, when Moses says, let my people go. So in all our endings and changes and transitions and new beginnings, no matter how tough or how endless they may seem, the promise that God made to Moses still holds true for us and for the people in Southeast Texas. They hold true for us today and for them as well. And the way that others realize that this promise that God is with them holds true is through us. When we act as the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. And being a follower of Jesus means taking up the cross and denying ourselves. In this case, denying ourselves a few bucks for the good of others. And to help those who are members of Jesus' family. Giving leads to life and keeps our minds focused on divine things. Amen.